borrow a truck and go on one occasion 79 miles out to meet the mailman over very rough country. The country was always rough, although the mailman did the trip once a week and an occasional wagon would go through. Another job he had to do was to act as dentist on occasions. One occasion was when he had toothache himself and there was no one there to take the tooth out. So he went to the hospital. Matron had a look and she said, "Oh, I don't think I can, but I'll try." And so she tried and broke the tooth. Then he had to sit in the chair and with the aid of a mirror give more instructions, but she couldn't manage it. And then Will took over and, as Len looked in the mirror, told him just where to place the instruments and everything. The tooth was finally got out. One time, a man came in from a station with very bad toothache, and the matron sent down for Len to come up and take the tooth out for him, and he was very grateful, but quite upset because he didn't take any payment for the extraction. So he went over to the store and he bought biscuits and sweets and things for the children, much to their delight. All these things we take as part of our service to the Lord, to commend the gospel. The Lord certainly gave us plenty to do to redeem the time of staying in Burketown, and I had plenty to do when the men were busy, between dark women coming up and children to the house, and looking after Frank and Victor. They were growing well and strong and loved playing outside, but they had no companions because it was impossible to let them play with the native children, and there were no white children in the town, much that we didn't want them to learn, that we had to keep them at home. However, Frank was quite happy singing about the place, and even in those young days he would just start a hymn or a chorus up anywhere, anytime, and said, "Say, come on, sing." It was almost as though the Lord was preparing him for the work that he was able to do in later life, and that was to conduct the Sydney Festival Choir of Male Voice Praise, who sing only the gospel. That was his great joy in life and his way of witnessing for the Lord. The two boys were devoted to each other, and as Victor got older, they had great adventures. Victor being a venturesome type of child, and Frank followed on. Martha was a tremendous help in those early days because she took great care of the children, saw that they didn't wander too near the riverbank because we weren't very far from the Albert River in Burketown. Showed them interesting things, and they learned quite a lot of things from her, including how to walk along, pick something up with their toes, transfer it to their hands without stopping. That's the thing that the dark folk were very adept at, and Frank and Vic didn't take very long to learn that. One of the Nina's uncles and aunts had a new baby, and that was brought up to the house to be admired, and Nina said afterwards, "Frank think it cussing belong him." I don't know whether Frank thought his relatives would have black faces or not, but anyhow, he accepted them all. He was always very careful to tell the dark children things that were true stories. We never told any of the children fairy tales or things that were not true, because we were teaching them the word of God, which was true. So they were not able very often to distinguish between what was true and for fun. But sometimes I used to tell Frank and Victor little stories and rhymes, and they'd say, "What's that, Mummy?" and I'd say, oh, that's just nonsense. Oh, do some more nonsense, Mummy. And I loved all these little things, but then they could understand what was true and what was false. Although the natives had corroborees for fun, they had, of course, the corroborees that went with their tribal customs, but we never went to see those. But they had corroborees for fun. And one night we were asked to go along to see one of them. There were a good number of dark folk in, and the corroboree was at the town camp. The first one was the snake corroboree. A lot of it was monotonous, but when one of the men lay full length whilst another tracked him to spear him, it was very amusing. The man lying flat on his back wriggled sideways and up and down, every muscle wonderfully supple, it being a true imitation of a snake's movement. The hunter on the lookout, glancing hither and thither, steps on it, lets out a shriek, he jumps into the air, and then sneaks on it and spears it between the arm and the body. And in the gloom, when the snake in its death struggle raises its body, you could almost be sure that the actor is truly pinned to the ground. For there's the spear hard and fast on the ground. Next we were shown the Mapoon corroboree. One of the boys at some time had been to the Mapoon mission, which is up in the Gulf of Carpentaria. I fancy it was based on the sailor's hornpipe, which in all probability the missionaries had taught them. And the next was the Chinaman's corroboree. Chinaman stealing fruit, writing and reading letters, eating with chopsticks, talking, arguing, rowing, making damper. It was very interesting, good and laughable right through, and we really enjoyed it. There came a day when Len was Gabunji. That meant he couldn't see, blind eyes. He had trachoma, and Frank and Victor also got it. And we tried treatment at home, but it was very bad. Len had it particularly badly, and Frank and Victor, they used to cry with the pain. They could sleep, but as soon as they moved the eye, the trouble started. And in the morning, their eyes were glued together and all swollen up. And as soon as you could part the eyelids after bathing them, a great squirt of pus would come out of each eye. We finally took them up to the hospital, and Matron gave them some treatment. And when the flying doctor came over, he put them on to a course of treatment which eventually cured them. But one day old Daisy came over from camp. She said, I come see about Boss. Bob tell me, you go see how Boss belong me and you. We were all plenty sorry long of Boss. He's very good to black boy. And yes, Daisy, I said, you know he loves the black boys. And very emphatically she replied, black boy love Boss. The parting shot was, you look after him. Yes, sir. A lighter side to medical things. Out of the lake, 5 miles away, there was a real Chinatown. And occasionally I ministered to their physical well-being, attended to their sores, etc. For which treatment they used to come into the town to our house. Oh, Missy, very clever doctor, is their verdict. They're only satisfied with the aerial doctor's verdict when I confirmed it. The latest patient was old Archie, who's very hard to understand. He had a very nasty hole in his foot, between the bones, and it was inclined to be septic. I asked him how it happened, and after much explaining, learnt, of course he'd been pulling plough all the same table, iron stick out all over him. Do you recognise the harrow? Well, that had been pulled onto his foot. The foot was cleaned and dressed, and he was to return 2 days later. He did so, accompanied by a countryman who explained, he's scratching, scratching. What were you scratching, Archie? I asked. He said, all the same, lousy, walk up and down, I scratch him. Lousy no more on him last night, and no more scratching. Don't be too horrified, it was not China's millions. He was only telling me that it was itching badly. One day when our kit came in, then brought out a Chinese Gospel of Mark, and he was going to pray with him, as I always did, it's a blessing on the medicine given. Our kit misunderstood and thought he was the one to pray. Good medicine you've been giving me, Jesus. Took the longer, our kit making better, by and by. But we were very grateful for all these people that we were able to contact. There were interesting little things happening from time to time. A very small plane came over from Cloncurry once. A man had made arrangements with a fisherman to go out and get him a couple of hundred weight of fish. He was going to take it back to sell it. Well, there were some very interested bystanders, and before they'd been there very long, one of the men was asked, would he like a ride? Oh yes, he was very happy to go up in the plane, but he hadn't got up very far when he chickened out of it and he wanted to come back. And as he came down, the plane hit a hump in the ground, broke a wheel off and smashed the propeller and damaged the wing, and there it was, standing up on its nose in the ground. Poor little thing, it was only a little tiny two-seater. Eventually it was taken back to Cloncurry by a motor lorry for repair, but it looked like a blowfly with its wings folded sitting on the back of this truck. The flying doctor used to come over fairly regularly, about once every 6 weeks, except there would be an emergency, and then he would come over. One day he came over in a Qantas six-seater, and just as he was preparing to rise, a tyre blew out. He took off safely afterwards. But anyhow, they did a little bit about clearing up the plane and getting some of the humps out of it so that there wouldn't be an accident in the future. There had been times when the doctor had to land in the main street in the town. Well, I mean, it was about the only street, but it was a level patch, and it eliminated the mud that was on the plane as a rule in the wet season. From time to time, we had visitors, one of our first being Gordon Sweeney, who for 2 years was employed by the Commonwealth Government Commission, and he was with a party of others surveying in the Northern Territory. He was a very fine type of man and very sincere. We were very impressed with him.